nothing heard. I'm having my supper here, so that's good. Alrighty. So the Bergen Amateur Radio Association runs many nets during the week, but they run a technical net, which is a little different than everybody else's technical nets in the area. It's a conversation about amateur radio, is really what it is, about electricity, electronics, computers, telecommunications, things in our society that use those things, emergency operation, DXing, antenna building, power systems, anything you can think of. Boy, you're pretty much fair game to bring it up. One other thing about this net that's a little unusual. We actually ask you to check in, even if you have if you don't have a question or a comment. And you may actually raise a question or a comment on a topic that interests you. We're very much interested in finding out what interests you, in fact. So that would be a good thing to do as well. But even if you don't have a question or a comment for the net, we'd like you to check in. And it's because you might find yourself being a resource to the net. We might ask you your opinion on something. So we need to know you're there in order to make that happen. So we hope that you'll check in. To check in on this repeater, you need to be on 146.955 megahertz with a minus 600 split and a tone of 141.3. You also may access the the net by Echolink. And Echolink node is Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L for Lima, K2FJ-L. And a lot of the folks who are on the repeater also check in on Echolink, because there's also text messaging underneath the net. You can make good use of that as well. So hopefully you will. Alrighty. With that in mind, let's begin with the fun and games. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter November. Let us hear you check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BARW2TTT.
K2BAR? This is N2O. You have two questions.
Good evening, Noel. Two questions. That's excellent. Anybody else with a November call? Okay. Let's try Whiskey 2, or Whiskey calls. Any Whiskey.
W1AU?
None of the above.
W2JC? None of the above.
W2LCN with a question.
Okay, so I have, so far, W1AU, Mr. Bill, with no questions or comments. I have Mr. Jim, W2JC, with no questions or comments. I have Mr. Rick with a question. W2LCN, very good. Most excellent. Let's see, any other whiskeys?
W2TTT timeout. KD2AKP disconnected.
Okay, I have to open up a firewall on my phone. I don't know how to do that, so that's what that's about. That's why I was timing out. So I'm not going to be on Echolink tonight, but we certainly will check in. Any other whiskeys? Okay, kilos, any kilo.
K2BAR, this is K2ZO, with just a couple comments. Back to that.
Jim, any other kilos?
Tony, K2AMI, no questions, no comments at this time.
no problem. Good evening to you as well. Any other kilos?
KC2VMA, Marco, what a question.
Marco, ZMA, I got that you have a question. Who was the station who just doubled on you?
Sorry, KC2IHI, Alex.
There's no apologies required, Alex. Will you be making a comment or posing a question or both?
I'll just be listening. No questions or comments, just listening.
Very good. Alex, where are you located? Just curious.
Here on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, right near Central Park.
Awesome. Very good. You have really, really loud audio. Perfect. It's just so much louder than everybody else's, but it's fine. It's absolutely, more people need audio like yours. Alrighty, any other kilos?
KC2, WDV, Whiskey Delta Zero, Gene in Park Hill, New York. No question.
Good evening, Gene. Excellent. Very good. Any other kilos? Alrighty. Any alphas? I'm looking for DX stations. Any alpha hotels? Sometimes you just have to ask to be specific. Anyway, any other stations wishing to check into the net, please call K2BAR and we'll get to TTT.
W2JEK with a comment.
WA2CAI checking in, no comment.
Very good. Don, FYI, Joyce has been ill lately, so we may need your help the week after Christmas with a test session on Friday night. So let me know if that's workable. You don't have to let me know tonight, but let me know in over the ensuing couple of days as to whether you're able to do that if she's not. In any case, Tom, I have you as well. Any other stations checking into the net tonight, please call K2BAR and we'll get to you TTT.
Can you cut down on the check-in period, please?
Sorry?
Can you cut down on the check-in?
I need to get people into the net, but okay. Anybody else?
NS2K, no question at this point.
Hey, Jim. Nice to hear you. Any other station?
Okay, D2AKP. Good evening, Gordon of the Net. No questions or comment at this time. Thank you.
Connected KD2AKP. Connected AC2GS. Connected KD2AYU. Good evening, Gordon. No questions.
Okay, was that AJ2GS with the no questions? And I didn't get your name. Now, I got two stations on Echolink, I think. KD2AKP, Nestor, I got you squared away. Good evening to you. Welcome aboard. Who was the other station on Echolink?
AJ2AYU, first personal Angela, no questions.
Okay, very good. Anybody else?
WA2CAI signing out.
Okay, 7-3, Tom. Have a good evening. Anybody else? Alrighty, well, let's get to the business at hand. Let's do the comments first. W2JEK, your comments from K2BARW2TTT. Try that again. W2JEK, W2TTT, K2BAR, whatever. Your comments? Might have gotten a phone call. Let's try this. K2ZO, your comments, Jim. K2BAR, W2TTT.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Very good. Well, I guess you know I've been fooling around with the various different configurations of antennas. We've been fooling around with some offset or fed antennas fed with open wire line and stuff like that. And I was just trying to clean up things, you know, for winter. And I did notice, you know, when putting a carrier in and looking at the SWR at a higher frequency, like 10 or 15, I did see it moving around with the wind as the feed line kind of banged up against the aluminum siding and the gutters. And what I did was I went over to Home Depot, and let me down the drop a second. They have these fiberglass poles. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're used to mark your driveway or fire plugs and stuff like that. They're about 4 feet long. They're made of fiberglass, fiberglass rod. And they seem to have two sizes of them. I got the ones that are about 5/16 in diameter, the smaller. They're very strong. The first thing, what I wanted to do with them is to use them to support for the open wire line. And what I did first was to test them. And the way I tested them was with the microwave, just to see what they would do in an environment with RF. I just want to make sure they didn't have any metal or anything like that. No. Okay, just letting it drop there. So what I did was I cut off a small piece about 6-7 inches long, and I put it in the microwave. If you do that, use a load in the microwave. I used a half a glass of water just as a RF load. So it wouldn't be running without a load on it. Anyway, they did not get warm. That is a very good test, by the way. I've tested plastics and various other things that I intended to use in RF fields. And it survived, no problem. Some of these things have reflective tape on them, and I decided to remove that. I didn't want the reflective tape hanging off the side of my tower, you know. Less obvious, the best. So what I did was I heated the tape up with a heat gun, and it came off. And what I've done is I clamped them to the tower. So they're clamped onto the horizontal portion of the tower, the cross arm, with a couple of hose clamps. And then they stick out, and then the feed line comes down, and I just used a tie wrap, one of those little plastic things, to tie the feed line on. And then where it comes over across the roof and comes down to the window, let it drop. Okay, what I do is I take about a 2-foot piece of it, and I wired it to the support thing that goes under the gutter, that holds the gutter into the side of the house. There's a bracket there, and I just wrapped it on there with a couple of pieces of tape, not tape, of wire, every wire, twisted it. So now it sticks out from the gutter, and then I used another couple of the tie wraps and tied it on there. And it's now nice and secure. It's not touching the side of the house as it was before, and it doesn't move around in the wind. So it was very neat and easy. So it's neat stuff, and you know, all kinds of things that you can do with it. So I just thought I'd pass that information on. And you can cut it. Just be careful. It is fiberglass. And you can even, I took it and polished the end with a little bit with the sander so that it was not scratchy. And works fine. Back to that. K2ZO.
Outstanding. Yeah, I've seen those. Some of them even have a little lollipops available. You can always take those off, use them for something else. If you're going to cut them, and you really want to get a long life out of them, what you can do is get either some epoxy or some inexpensive epoxy, or even what do you call it? The kind of tape, paint I'm thinking of, you know, acrylic. You get a good hard acrylic paint that's UV resistant, and just paint them over with that. At least at the ends, you don't tape paint the whole thing. But if you're worried about the thing flaking and becoming nasty, You can coat it with epoxy or as I said, acrylic paint that keeps the fibrous stuff down with dull work. You know, under 5 years, it's really not going to matter, but somewhere after 5 years, you know, that stuff starts to happen. I've noticed that even with some of the Japanese antennas that they've done that. But great technique, by the way, for testing its insulating quality. It's have a glass of water and throw a 6-inch piece in the microwave and good to go. Anybody have any comments? Anybody?
So a minor one, I painted my antennas all brown with latex house paint.
Because like the mamas and the papas, all the leaves are brown. And like tonight, the sky is gray.
No, this way the fiberglass won't splinter after a few years.
Oh, okay. You're picking up on the theme. I was picking up on the color. Very good. Very good. So, Jim, back to you.
Yeah, I clear Krylon UV resistant, and I just shot a little bit of that on them. As you say, the ends will wick it right up because you're right, the end will fray a little bit, and that's why I sanded it a bit. But, yeah, they work fine. And, you know, you could even drill these things and make a nice little lightweight insulator out of them for a simple throw-up antenna. And you could also, if you wanted to go through the effort, use them as open wires line spacers. Make a little jig in the drill press and then drill them and cut them. And what I cut it with was with my, I have a blade that's used, it's just a, well, I don't know what you call it. It's like used for glass and things like that. It's has an abrasive on it. It's not, doesn't have teeth. And that cut it very well with the, just the saber saw. So, that's about it. I can add K2ZO.
Marvelous, marvelous. Okay. Thank you, Jim. That's pretty informative. And they make great standoffs, like you said. Keep the open wire line away from your house. That's just super. Alrighty. Don, did you have any comments you wanted to make?
Yes, W2JEK. Yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody that our next Baritas session will be in January, and that will be on the third Friday of January, which will be the 20th of January. So that's the next test session that Barra will be running. So, and the usual time, 7 o'clock at the high school. And I looked up the ARRL's website, and the test fee will remain at $15. So that was good news. Back to net, W2JK.
It sounds very good. Just a reminder that Venture Crew 73 is going to be running a one-day crash course on the 30th. It would be Friday the 30th of December in Bergenfield. It's all day. And it will be followed by a test session at 7 o'clock. If you can't stay for the course and want to come for the test session, let us know. We do need to know that. Just so that we have enough of the right tests for you. We do accept walk-ins, but it's just better if we know. The all-day class will be technician and also general. If you're interested, you can email me, W2TTT, and I'll email you back a set of suggested study materials for any lessons class you might have in mind. So, let's see, what else? Let's see here. So, one other thing is the Barra meeting of January will be on January 8th, which is a Sunday. Because January 1st is a Sunday, and I don't think we're meeting that day. Just call me omniscient. Anyway, any other check-ins before we go to more questions? Okay, Marco, I'm going to toss it to you first.
is after you is Noel. Actually, it's Rick, and then Noel, and then me. We all have questions. KC2ZMA, K2BARW2TTT.
K2BAR, it is KC2ZMA. Good evening, everybody. Net. My question has to do with propagation. I know it's probably a deep subject or so, but I discovered on the QRZ.com website, on the top there's like a small little portion of, they give you like solar activity, current solar activity. For example, it gives you like 80 meters, you know, all the meters, 10 meters, 12, and tells you if it's fair, good, tells you if it's good at night, during the day. It also gives you other parameters of certain things of solar activity, and also signal noise, which is I'm very curious about that, where you have a section where it says signal noise level, like right now it's S0 to S1, and I was just curious if anybody knows or give any more basic information of basically how to read this. I know it's basically, you see if the band is good or not, or if it's, I don't know if the thing is accurate enough, or it's just listen to the band to see if they're open. I'm curious about also the signal noise level. I don't know if it has anything to do with the solar activity that actually brings up the noise on the radio on different bands. I'm just curious if anybody knows, or I just stumbled into this, and it was a very very informative, because it tells you if what a band is good during the day or at night, especially what I use 10 meters a lot. Like right now, 10 meters fair during the day and poor at night. So I'll give it back to you, I guess, talk about this. I know it's kind of a deep subject, so this is KC2ZMA. Back to that.
Was there someone on EchoLink who wanted to come in? Very good. So, the chart is very, very nice. It has a bunch of solar parameters on the left side, which most of which I have forgotten, but that's a whole other matter. And then on the right side, they have the chart you were referring to, where they reflect the day and night conditions, and also the signal noise level. Well, between S0 and S1 means that it's pretty quiet, so you're not getting a lot of, you know, what we call noise. Now, what I don't know is what band that was taken on, and I do know what time of day, but I don't know how they're quantifying it with respect to spectrum. So that's an interesting question in there. So what's really neat is to see 20 meters good at night. You know, I think that their criteria is simply poor, fair, and good. So red, yellow, green. It looks pretty straightforward to read to me. I'm wondering if anyone has any insights to that. I know the geomagnetic field is, you know, being very quiet, a good thing, because geomagnetic disturbances do disrupt HF propagation. And sometimes they'll give you other kinds of propagation, but generally HF propagation turns to garbage if the geomagnetic field is disturbed. So with that in mind, anybody want to comment? B2JK. Hi, Doc.
Yeah, on the upper, I think the upper left side is a thing. It's a solar flux, which measures the some of the activity in the ionosphere. And the higher, the better, so to speak. And to the right of that is another SN number. That's a sunspot number. And that sort of tells you how many sunspots there are. It's a quantity of sunspots. It's not 39 sunspots. It's a... they have a way of counting sunspots by how many groups or something there are. It's a sort of some kind of a different way than most people count things. But if you see a lot of sunspots, that's better than no sunspots at all, which we've had in a couple of years ago. And if you get enough sunspots and enough solar flux, when your solar flux gets over 100 and better, that's when you start getting propagation on 10 meters. And, so right now, I think we are seeing a lot of 10-meter propagation. And there's an A index and a K index, and these indexes go up. I think they are generally, the higher the number, they are detrimental indicators, if you know what I'm saying. There's reasons that poor that affects the propagation in an adverse manner. With that, back to that, W2JK.
That's right. There's also on that side a very useful number at the bottom, MUF as measured in Boulder, Colorado. And that's a frequency in megahertz, which is maximum usable frequency. And it's 14.45. So, but that's basically suggesting even now that, you know, the 20 meters is going to be, you know, at least, you know, good, if not fall down to fair, but it's not poor. And that's outstanding to see. At 10 o'clock or 10, or pardon me, 9 o'clock at night, our time, it's a 7 o'clock their time. That's just outstanding to see, especially in December, early in the solar cycle, too, because we are still early in the solar cycle. So that's excellent. This is really, really good. Alrighty. Any other comments?
W2JEK. One thing in my rig here, I've got the WWV on 5, 10, 15, and 20 megahertz. It don't sound so good tonight right now, so I guess we're having some kind of a problem. So, I mean, earlier on I was reading pretty good, but I guess the band's closed out. I mean, even on 5 megahertz, I'm not getting them. I mean, that's how bad things are.
Really? I didn't realize that. That's amazing. Anyway, just looking at a venture ad here on the QRZ site, they have sold 140,000 plus paddles of a particular model. That's amazing. The BY series paddle, you know the ones. That's amazing. Anyway, enough of that distraction. So, yeah, I would think that it might actually be all right, but we'll see. I'm not home, so Nancy had to work late, so I decided that rather than have to figure out how to transition the net, that I would catch a nosh and be mobile, fixed mobile, but mobile, and run the net that way. That way, when she gets out of work, I can pick her up. But very good. Marco, does that answer your question? I would look up A index, K index, things like that on some amateur radio sites, and you'll get some more insights to what SFI are, etc.
K2BAR is KC2VMA. Yeah, just to get me started. So I know it's a really deep subject, this, but I just thought it might, because I just stumbled into it, so I thought I might shoot a question out. And, yeah, I'm just going to look. Yeah, look, I can Google basically all these things. And it seems like it's a great map, so it's probably useful. Yeah, I just have it, like, stored on my iPhone, and I can just go there and see, like, a basic overview of what's going on. But, yeah, thanks. That's good. I'll go back to that. This is KC2ZMA.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. Alrighty. Our next comment, or actually, we have no more comments.
So let's try this. Any more check-ins before we go to questions? This is K2BAR W2TTT. Okey-doke. They'll be heard, that's all good. All right, let's see. Mr. Zeto, you are up next. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is K2ZO. I guess I did my comments before and that was all I had. I really didn't have any questions at all. So that's about all I had here. Back to that, K2ZO.
I'm sorry. I was messing with me. It was Rick. He's right above you in the roster. I apologize. Okay. W2LCN, Rick. As we've heard from Marco. Your turn, K2BAR, W2TTT.
Hi, K2BAR, this is W2LCN. The name here is Rick, and I got to thank you guys for taking my check-in before. I guess I went in off Echolink, and apparently it worked. I'm having a whole different technical issue. I'm running Outlook 2003. I'm using a BlackBerry, and my website is sending all the emails back and forth to the individual units of BlackBerry and the Outlook, but they are not working together, and I cannot seem to find the pathway of how all these things work interchangeably, so that the BlackBerry feeds Outlook and the website feeds the BlackBerry, and they all work in unison. I was wondering if anyone could give me an insight into how this whole system functions. Back to Ned.
Okay, so let me ask a question. I'm a little ignorant of this. Is BlackBerry giving you a web view of your email, or is it actually, you know, downloading into your BlackBerry your email?
Gordon, the website I have is actually sending an email directly to my BlackBerry, and I'm able to view it through my mail. I click it, and it opens up like a regular email. There's a list of people in the inbox. I select the one I want, and it opens up and shows me the message. And it seems to work fine back or forth. But the changes I make on that BlackBerry don't change on Outlook, and vice versa. Back to next.
Okay, so is it one of these deals where it's downloading? You're downloading your email, so on your regular Outlook, you're downloading the email into your PC as well.
That is correct. It's also coming from the web into my Outlook, and from my Outlook back to the web. But it is not updating on the phone. If I make a change on Outlook, the change only exists on Outlook and on the web, but not on the BlackBerry, and vice versa.
Yeah, you have a BlackBerry administration issue, but like for instance, the way I've set my email up with, I have ATT Mail, so I use POP3 to download my email into my Outlook, and then I can use a web browser anywhere, including on my phone, to view my email as long, and I just have to keep it on the server for 14 days. Anything longer than that, I don't care about looking from a mobile device. At that point, I'll just, you know, look at the downloaded mail into the PC. So that's how I handle it. I think what's happening is the BlackBerry is downloading the stuff and never looking back. I think what you're going to have to do from your BlackBerry is don't use the BlackBerry Mail agent. And instead, use a web agent that basically anybody could use, you know, in this case, but use it from your BlackBerry.
Okay, that seems to make a lot of sense. Now, how would that affect the calendar? Some of the calendar, actually none of the calendars function at all. Nothing is syncing with Outlook 2003. And the question I have is that old technology that's just not supported and not working with the current technology? I wonder if 2010 upgrade handles the technology out there a little different. Back to that.
Okay, so let's, since you're not using an Exchange server to get your email, using a POP3 server, it's downloading the email from the mail agent that you have into your Outlook. It's also keeping a copy around on the web for some period of time. I'm kind of curious which carrier you have, by the way, for your mail provider, just to do that. In those instances, the web calendar and your Outlook calendar should synchronize. But again, synchronizing to your BlackBerry calendar is just probably overreaching. So, who's your mail provider?
All right, KQ2LPN. I'm just back. I'm kind of balancing back and forth. My son, who's 3 years old, happens to love to sit here on the meeting on Thursday night. The carrier that I'm using is not easy. I've had them set up for quite a while. I believe we are using Top 3, but I'm not sure what the difference is between the Top 3 and the Exchange server. But it's not easy as the service provider. Back to that.
Okay, and how long does it keep the web version of your email up to date?
As long as I want it there. It'll stay. I'm the administrator for it, and it just stays as long as I leave it.
Okay, so you have a different framework. Okay, I'm using ATT Mail, and I have a hard limit of, because I've provisioned it that way, to 2 weeks. That's enough for my web access of email. But I gotcha. You might want to talk to them about how to administer synchronization with your BlackBerry. But, Mike, as long as your calendar and your email are good between your web and your PC, and your PC is not using a web interface, but actually physically downloading the mail into itself, into an Outlook app, not just Outlook web app, then I think if that's the case, then you can have a rational conversation with them as to whether or not they have a similar administrative capability for BlackBerries.
All right, that sounds helpful. I did go through with them for quite a while, actually. I spent some time on the phone and chatting with them back and forth. And the reason I brought that to the text on that night was because their suggestion was to use Google Calendar. And if you want me to use another service provided by another company for free as opposed to trying to work with you, and he said yes, they free download to the phone for your calendar and a number of other features, and I would suggest using that. With that, I realized I was kind of not getting the right answers, but it seems like maybe I just need to update some of the technology and look around a little further. But thank you. And back to that, this is W2LPS.
W2LCN, W2TTTKTBAR. Yeah, that might be worthwhile. I mean, the way we do it in happy corporate land is that the email is maintained and can be shoved from an Exchange server into multiple clients, and then when you upload stuff, it will make that available in the send box of the other client. Yeah, but if you have an Exchange server, that's very nice. But Exchange servers cost money. They cost like serious bucks. So, and I really haven't done any research to find out who has an Exchange-like server that gets you, you know, in the world beyond POP3, you know, kind of comfortably. Has anyone looked at that? Just curious. KTBARW2TTJ. Right, let me just put someone on the spot here on the off chance that he might know. Not to be listening because he's got conflict sometimes. W2JC, KTBARW2TTT. James, are you about?
Yes, I'm about. But I am so happy that it's been like 7 or 8 years since I've had to deal with Exchange servers and stuff like that.
Yeah. You haven't had a chance to research anything similar to that that might be available in shareware or something like that.
No, I haven't, Gordon. I keep my email fairly simple. I download POP3, and I have a very old email system called Pegasus, which has been around for a long time. It's plain, simple, and doesn't have all the bells and whistles that they keep adding on to everything these days. Sorry.
No, I fully understand. All right, it was just worth asking. I wasn't sure if you had any thoughts on it. I think I'm going to add that to the homework assignment list for us to look at this week. You know, email servers, you know, add that to my list of things to do and who it's for. Mr. Rick, email servers. All right, we got that. Mr. Rick, anything else I can help you with in the short term?
KC2WDZ with a comment.
Mr. WDZ, Mr. Gene, go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot, Gordon. Yeah, I missed a small part of that, but I can tell you right now, if you want to get away from Exchange and Enterprise servers and whatnot, I know Gmail, if they're willing to go with a whole new email address, Gmail provides all that and without the extra costs and whatnot. That's what I ended up using. You know, my work, they do use Exchange and Enterprise and whatnot, but you know, on the personal end of things, I just use Gmail, and it works great between the web interface, between Outlook, between my BlackBerry, which is my watch, and my Android phone. It's all there all the time.
Yeah, as long as you have connectivity. Do you download any of your mail into let's say your PC client, or do you use that as a web interface like you do on your mobile device?
You know, I actually use both of them. I have a work PC that I do use Outlook with the Gmail. And I have a desktop and a personal laptop that I just use the web interface for. But, you know, I do use both of them.
Gotcha. All right. I'll have to take a look at that. I mean, I have a Gmail account. I hardly ever look at it. I can't have my call sign. It's too short. For those who care, it's w2ttt1@gmail.com, but, you know, I'll only look at it, like, once a month when I'm doing software updates and I need to log in with that ID. I'll go, oh, look, I have email. So, it's definitely an email where content is meant to die. You're much better off sending it to AWRL.net or something like that. But, they certainly have some good stuff. I also have to be a little more thoughtful as to where I send my email, even personal email, because of who I work with, the nature of my work. I have to, you know, think about whether I want, you know, Google to be able to surveil what it is I do for a living and how and what we're looking at, et cetera. Don't kid yourself. They make a carnivore I forgot what I was going to say. Jeez, that's terrible. Hold on. Yeah, they're worried about, you know, they see certain domain spaces and certain questions being asked or certain topics being covered from certain spaces. They make the government's carnivore program look like a lightweight. So, at least you might, the carnivore are old, probably know what the government does now, but that's another matter. Anyway, anything else on this one from anybody?
AC2GS disconnected. Connected. KD2AYU connected. K KD2AYU connected. KD2AYU connected. KD2AYU connected. KD2AYU.
Interesting variations on that theme. So, you know, I wouldn't dissuade someone from having it. I just have to be thoughtful as to what I'm using it for. I have an Android phone, so why wouldn't I? Everybody who has an Android phone has a Google account, or a Gmail account, if you will. Alrighty. Rick, thank you for bringing this up. W2LCN, back to you at K2BARW2TTT.
All right, Gordon. Thank you very much. You did open up a can of worms. It looks like something I was looking at originally, but that Gmail is definitely something worth considering and looking further into, but I do understand what you're saying. It feels kind of awkward trying to use that for professional purposes when you've got someone else that could conceivably be monitoring your work as opposed to using your own website where you can kind of control what's being monitored. But it looks like .easy, or GoDaddy, I'm sorry, has a Exchange server host service, but it gives me some information, some things to go by, some further things. So anyway, I'll send it back to Ned. Thank you very much. K2BAR, this is W2LCN. Thank you.
You know, I haven't tried it out, well, from scratch. I have a migrated ATT WorldNet account onto the Yahoo Mail system, but, you know, my email, w2ttt@att.net, is doing pretty well, so it is something to think about. So, it is something to ponder. And the GoDaddy thing sounds actually pretty cool. So that would be useful as well. Alrighty. By the way, I also have to send encrypted mail. You know, when I send mail off the platform, use encrypted conferencing systems. When I'm on any broadband, whether it's wired or wireless, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on in protecting the intellectual property of my work stuff. So I got to be very careful if I flip things between my work laptop and my personal laptop. I have to be very thoughtful as to how I do that. The answer is no, hell no, and forget it. But when in doubt, encrypt, encrypt, encrypt. Alrighty. So with that in mind, why don't you plan on reporting on the GoDaddy thing next week, and I'll look for other clients as well, Rick. So that's excellent. W2LCN, K2BAR, W2TTT. Okay? He's probably beaten up, or getting beat up by his 3-year-old, trying to convince him to go to bed. Rick's a good daddy. He really is. Alrighty. N2OEL. It's your ball, Mr. Noel. K2BAR, W2TTT.
Okay, I got something that is going to cause a lot of dissension. It's an easy question. If you were going to pick a logging program for general purpose use by an average ham who's relatively lazy, would you consider Ham Radio Deluxe, or is there something better?
I think you're pretty hard-pressed to have Ham Radio Deluxe be surpassed. And what's nice about it is you only have to implement the parts that you need. You don't have to do every darn thing that they have. So, especially with the new structure where they have all those piece part applets. So, yeah, I would think HRD would be my choice. All right, so I know there's a bunch of people with different opinions on this. And so I'm going to toss it in the air. It's a jump ball. Who wants to talk first? Everybody's playing chicken. K2ZO, what logging program do you use, Jim?
Well, logbook. for contest, N1NM. I am just getting started. I have decided to use Ham Radio Deluxe, to tell you the truth, after talking to people and asking the exact same question. That's basically what I was told, and that's what I'm doing. I am starting to learn it. Back to net, K2ZO.
Yep, that's pretty much where I am, too. I was using VQ Log for years. I like VQ Log, but HRD finally grew up enough to be like VQ Log, so I'm switching over. Alrighty. Let's see. Don, W2JEK. I'm just going to cherry pick a couple, then I'll come back. K2BAR.
I use paper log, and when I get through the contest, I use that WA7DNM site to convert paper into capital O. It automatically sends it to the contest sponsor. And then I get emails back both from the DNM site and the contest sponsor, which will give a confirmation of it.
Okay. K2AMI, what do you use, Tony?
Hey, K2AMI. Again, for contesting, I've always used a CT. But for home logs, I'm just getting into N1MM, which is kind of nice, but I'm not too sure it's going to work for general logging. Very easy to enter the information, and it goes right to a log. And just got to pick the contest you're on in the case of a contest. But I've not used any logs for casual comments, because I don't do very much casual context. I probably would try to learn Ham Radio Deluxe, because I've got that on the computer, and I use portions of it. Does not use the logging software yet. But Ham Radio Deluxe is such a great program that it's got to be easy if I learn how to use it.
Yeah. Yep. W1AU, Mr. Bill? We're Bill List. NS2K, K2BAR. Okie dokie. Anybody else want to pipe in if I didn't call your call? Anybody else want to pipe in with their preferences?
You want to take a late check-in?
Absolutely. Who call us?
Thank you. I don't have a question. My call is NC2NY. Name is Steve from Long Island.
Hi, Steve. No problem. We cheerfully take comments or questions or just check-ins. That's fine, too. Welcome aboard from Long Island. Where in Long Island are you?
Over here in Woodmere, southwestern Long Island, not too far from Kennedy Airport.
Gotcha. So you're in Nassau, or are you in Queens?
Sorry, Nassau.
I'm sorry, Steve, we doubled. Are you in Nassau or Queens?
Okay, sorry. I'm in Nassau County.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, come aboard. All righty. So for years I used CT, and now I'm using N1MM for contest logging as well. My station logging was VQ Log, written by a Spanish ham. Very, very good stuff. Really, really good stuff. And then I'm in the process of figuring out how I'm going to have multiple instances of HRD. And HRD does some interesting things, including allow you a central database on one machine across the LAN. But I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to handle that little detail. So what I'm thinking of doing, because sometimes I'm using portable and mobile and stuff like that, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have two primary logs. The home log will be the machine that stays at home. The mobile log will be the one that's on my primary laptop. Then any other laptop that I have will point to one or the other, and I'll just have to figure out how to merge them. I haven't done the merge process yet, but I understand there is one. So
while we're getting, you know, interested in the subject, has anyone found a way to, is there a merge function for HRD's log? So if you have it in, you know, a log on one machine, a log on the other, how do you merge the two? All right, well, that's something we're going to have to look into. I know there's a way so that you could have a laptop or another PC across the LAN writing to the same database as everybody else. But I just don't know how, if you have two databases, how you merge them. And I'm sure there's a function to do that. That's pretty basic. All righty. So, N2OEL, back to you with about this, and then we can go on to the next question when you're ready. K2BAR, W2TTT.
Too bad Jim and Rachel weren't here for this one. Okay. In the past, ISYL was very, very conscious about security. So I was very careful to run Cat5 through the house. Every computer is hooked up to Cat5. Therefore, if somebody wants to hack into my home system, they got to cut through a hole in the wall and find a Cat5 wire and splice in, which is a little bit difficult. We had the wireless router, and Peter gave it to B2JLL very carefully. Since the software turned off the wireless part and took off the antenna, just so it ever decides to go back. Nowadays, I understand there's new protocols for wireless that are much, much more effective. Does anybody have an opinion on whether it would be considered safe to go to a wireless protocol and use a laptop, for instance, within the confines of one's own house with a reasonable degree of security? And to OEL.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, WPA 2 or WPA 2 TKIP, that'll be fine. You'll have adequate security. So I wouldn't sweat the small stuff if you're doing that. If you're using WEP or no security, that's a huge problem. You don't want to use WEP. That's just ridiculously hackable.
Connected KD2AYUKD2AKP. Disconnected.
Hi, Angela. Welcome on to Echo Link. I'm not on Echo Link, unfortunately. I'm having trouble with my hotspot firewall on my cell phone. I have to figure out how to open up ports, which will be very interesting. I'll call to my cell provider over that. In any case, let's see. Alrighty. Noel, does that answer your question?
Yes, I didn't hear any dissenting opinions. It's William.
Yeah, well, we'll welcome any additional input on the subject. Anybody have any comments? Okay, very good. So back to you, Mr. Noel. What else?
For the last question, I was so happy with Vista that I didn't want to lose the one I had set up. So when we put up the new system for my upcoming radio, Peter set it up to dual boot with Windows 7. We have a nice clean version that I'm only going to run the software with. And so this way, hopefully, I won't get too many interrupts. Unfortunately, the default comes up with the Windows 7, and I'd prefer to come up with Vista in the boot menu. Do you have any idea how I could switch them around?
I'm a little confused. You want to boot up with Vista?
Yes, that's what I would use every day when I turn on the computer. I turn on the computers and walk away, both my work computer and my home computer, and I prefer that it starts up in Vista. And of course, I forget, and by the time I come back, I have to restart the computer so it starts up in Vista. Vista has all my day-to-day stuff, my email, things like that. I also am running a certain degree of protection because I run myself as having no privileges, and I keep the administrator with a different name hidden, and that's what's affected.